Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
Seattle sits firmly in a playoff spot with just over a month of the regular season to play, but nothing has been earned, nothing has been guaranteed, and now a heavy dose of action upon us, and Seattle enters it with one of their better players on the shelf. Let's talk T-Birds hockey next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
After gaining a split on the weekend, the Thunderbirds get set for one of the busiest, if not the busiest, stretches of games on the schedule this season. They've got four games in five nights, and if you want to take it even a step further, by the time we enter the final weekend of February, they will have played seven games over a 10-day span. Now, it starts tomorrow on the road. Yes, Valentine's Day. They'll be up in Everett. A divisional clash with the always fun-loving Everett Silvertips. Game time 7:35 at the Angel of the Winds Arena. Get your heart-shaped box of chocolates and come up and join us for that game. It will continue Saturday at the Accesso Showwear Center. It's the first game this season, by the way, against the Vancouver Giants, the resurging Vancouver Giants. Saturday, of course, also the annual Hockey Challenge to benefit Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska. There will be games all day long, and the highlight is the T-Birds-Giants clash at 6:05. That will be followed by the local Celebrity All-Stars T-Bird alumni game that features Team Olacek versus Team Patterson. Team Olacek is coached by NHL Seattle assistant GM Rick Olacek, who has been an NHL scout and an assistant general manager at the NHL level for well over a decade now. Team Patterson, led by Ed Patterson, he's a former T-Bird, he's a former Pittsburgh Penguin, and he is the father of current T-Bird Max Patterson. And on top of that, by the way, it's girls' night out, too, so a lot of things going on that game on Saturday. By the way, this is the 22nd year of the Hockey Challenge, and over the first two decades, the challenge has raised over $6.3 million for Ronald McDonald House. And we will have more on the challenge, by the way, the second half of the show. Our guest will be John Barr to talk about fundraising. Now, after the game Saturday, the T-Birds and the Giants will then hit the ice up in British Columbia. It's British Columbia Family Day, so it's a Monday matinee up at the Langley Event Center. That'll start at 2 o'clock. And Seattle's not done the air. They return home on Tuesday, and they've got a meeting, the lone meeting of the season with the Moose Jaw Warriors, 7:05 Tuesday night. Is the next Chick-fil-A 2 for Tuesday on the schedule. As always, you buy one ticket, you get one free. The first 2,500 fans receive that next player magnet in the series, along with a card redeemable for a free chicken sandwich at any Puget Sound Chick-fil-A restaurant. For ticket information on the two home games on tap, go online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. But as always, to talk about it, we bring on board my co-host Andy Eid and the head coach Matt Odette. Well, Matt, before we look ahead to what's going to be a busy stretch of hockey for you, let's just go back to the Sunday win over Prince George. Big win for you, because the win not only pushed your point lead back up to 9 over the Cougars for that second wild card spot, kept you within striking distance of the first wild card position as well, but it also stopped a three-game winless stretch where you'd only earned the 1 point, and you certainly needed those 2 points, and that's what you're all about right now, is getting those points.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty high-stakes game in our mind, you know, four-point game with the team that's trying to catch us for the playoff spot. So it was important for us to get those points and deny them any points and finish the weekend off with a good taste in our mouth.
You know, we've talked about how young your roster is, and I look back at the schedule to this point, and with such a young roster, we know it's one of the youngest in the Western Hockey League and also in the entire Canadian Hockey League, that you've avoided prolonged losing stretches. There haven't been a lot of stretches of the season where you've not gone without at least getting a point, whether it was a shootout loss or an overtime loss. I think the longest stretch was a four-game losing streak, and that was way back in early November. So, you know, this, I think, back then, too, was when you were employing a lot of 16- and 15-year-old call-ups because you had a lot of players going away to those international tournaments at that point. So, again, with this young roster, to avoid those long losing stretches has been a really good, I think, learning process for this team.
Yeah, you definitely want to avoid those. I think, you know, we've done that for a couple of reasons. You know, I thought, you know, ever since, I guess, December, start of December, we've playing more to our identity, more to our kind of standard of, you know, compete and work ethic. And when you're doing that each and every night, you can avoid those prolonged bad stretches. And the second one will be goaltending. When you got great goaltending, you know, they can be the stopper to stop some of those streaks from happening. And, you know, Roddy and Blake have been good to step up in those situations.
And with the goaltending this past weekend, we talked a little bit after the game. You save Roddy for the Sunday game against Prince George instead of the team that had the better record than ever. But that's not saying that you don't trust Lyda to go out there and beat everyone. He played well. He played well enough probably to get the win. But that was the mentality, though, is you wanted the number one guy to be in the more important game.
Yeah, I think so. That's the way it shaped up. I thought if we did a better job in PG of taking care of business, maybe we could have, you know, flip-flopped that. But like you said, we're confident in both goalies. You know, Blake hadn't been in there for a month, you know, with the injury and stuff that he had. So, you know, coming into this busy portion of the season, we felt it was important for him to get a game under his belt before kind of all these games get going. You know, he's got to play against Everett at some point, his old team. So I thought it all the reasoning kind of came together. And, you know, and like you said, Lyda's played well in that game. And Roddy got the win on Sunday. So everything, I think, worked out.
And that's another one of the aspects that you have as a coach is that depending on, you know, previous results, maybe your game plan changes. I'm sure, as you mentioned, if maybe you'd won the first game up in PG, the game you lost 6-4, maybe Blake gets the start in game two, but you want those points, so you put Roddy back out there again. But, you know, these are things where you two are adjusting to how the schedule is playing out, how the games are playing out.
Yeah, exactly. I try not to commit too much into the future as far as when a goalie is going to play for that reason. You know, the scenarios kind of shift from game to game, so you know, focusing on one game at a time and who's playing the next game and then make the decision from there. So, you know, going into busy stretches of games, we know that, you know, Roddy can't play them all, and Blake, you know, for example, the 4 and 5 coming up, Blake's definitely going to be involved in that, as well as a 3 and 3 the next weekend. So as far as that, that's the extent of the planning, and you know, we take it game by game from there.
So that team that's chasing you, PG, you played them 3 times in a week, and they appear to be kind of a tough team to play against. They've got the really good goaltender. It doesn't seem like they give up a lot of, like, odd end, you know, or odd man rushes and things like that. You have to just kind of keep grinding at them. But is it a positive that you can come out with a 2-1 win like that and play that kind of game?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think they're doing a lot of good things there. You know, I'm impressed with how hard they play and, you know, the way that they defend. You know, pretty stingy and obviously a good goaltender. So, you know, we fall short in the second game in PG in a similar game. I thought we had more of the play in that game than we did this past Sunday. But it is important to play those tight, you know, playoff-style games where, you know, the results are hanging in the balance and we have to buckle down late in the game. And to come out on the right side of those type of games, you know, was a positive coming out of the weekend.
So now you go into this busy stretch where you're going to eventually be playing 7 games in 10 days, 4 and 5 to begin it off. And it seems like every year there's one part of the schedule where that will happen, probably for every team in the league, by the way. So you got to do it, though, with one of your best forwards now out, Henrik Rabinski. And you've had to make adjustments throughout the season, as every team does, because injuries or whatever other reason, you know, the greatest thing would be for a coach to be able to roll 4 lines consistently every game of the season over the course of 68 games and never have to change. But things pop up, whether it's a struggling player or an injury, where you have to adjust. So this is another test for your team here over this stretch of hockey.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, Ribby's a big part of our team. He's the first guy, first center over the boards in most situations. So, you know, big adjustment, 20-plus minutes ice time up for grabs there. And with that, there's opportunity for the other guys to step up and get more of that opportunity and prove that they can play in those high-leverage situations. You know, matchups are, you know, from game to game, the matchups, you know, with our opponent differ. Some teams play the third and fourth line more than others. Some teams play, you know, their top 6 guys pretty heavy. So each game's a different challenge as far as matchups, but you know, we'll be looking for some guys to step up and fill that ice time.
It looked like Jared Davidson was one of those guys who, I know you had him Sunday between Roulette and Jerry Leon. In the timing seems right. He seems like he's been playing some good hockey for you lately. Is that a guy that maybe you're going to lean on a little bit now with Ribby out?
Yeah, he's definitely going to get more on his plate. You know, whether we keep that line the same, I'm not sure yet. But, you know, he's a guy that's got a knack to score and create offensive opportunities. You know, like most of our young guys, there's still work to be done as far as, you know, defensive responsibilities, puck management type stuff. But he's coming along. You know, he might be a guy that, you know, he will be a guy. Him and Caillou Chaz will be a guy, two guys down the middle that will, you know, get more ice time with Ruby being out. And, you know, they're up for the challenge.
And, well, for the most part, with all these young guys you have on your roster, you try to use them on the third and fourth line. You've not hesitated, even when you've been healthy, to use these guys on your top lines. Connor Rillette's seen a lot of first-time minutes. Lucas Siona has been playing on a line with a couple of more veteran players, so you have confidence in their ability to throw them over the boards in those situations.
Yeah, and they've earned that opportunity. You know, Lucas has played some great hockey for us. You know, their line has kind of emerged as a, you know, very reliable line that can play against the other team's top line. So, you know, he's been a big part of that. And, you know, obviously with Connor, you know, clicking with the Ribby and Kelty line, you know, he's been doing his thing there. And, you know, we're happy with our young guys. We see that progress. And they've earned the extra opportunity and, you know, earn the trust of the coaching staff to be out there in those situations.
And you, Chaz, and Siona have become regulars on your PK, and there was one point this last weekend where you had them both out there. Those are your two forwards, two 16-year-olds on your PK. What does that do for their development, their overall game, to get that experience killing off penalties?
I think it's very important. You know, first of all, it gives them something to kind of latch on to and, you know, gives them the opportunity to be on the ice and you know, really, really grab hold of, you know, when it trickles down to their 5-on-5 play, you know, and that, I think since Kai's been playing the PK regularly, his 5-on-5 game has improved as well. So I think that can give a kid a confidence boost for the rest of their game. And, you know, guys have taken their special teams, you know, responsibilities and ran with it and continued that on into the 5-on-5 play.
Where is it easier to institute a young player into one of those systems, power play or penalty kill?
Sorry, what was that question?
The young players, is it easier to integrate them into the power play or the penalty kill in their careers early on?
I think it depends on the player. You know, some players have a knack for the power play. You know, Connor Rillette, for example. You know, you want to give each guy sort of a branch to hang on to as far as the special team. Some guys go the power play way. Some guys go the PK way. I think most guys would like to do the power play. You know, it's based on, you know, where they're at and their progress and what their strengths are. But we do want to give guys, you know, a taste of that responsibility as far as the development process. And I think it's helped each and every one of those guys.
And one guy who I don't think yet has been on your PK, another young guy, is Mekhi Sanders. He seems like he's got that in his future, though. He seems like that's the kind of player he could be on the PK. He's just got that energy and that speed. Do you see that as a role for him? Maybe if not this year, then down next year, maybe?
I do. It's funny that you say that. We were just talking about that yesterday. you know, getting him some opportunity on the PK. You know, his skill set, you know, suits, you know, being a good penalty killer. He's fast. He's smart. He's got good instincts. You know, we've learned over the years that usually the fastest guys are the best penalty killers. We've taken penalty kill stats over the years, and you know, even the guys that may not be, you know, the smartest at grasping the systems and making the best reads, it's funny that, you know, every year the fastest guys turn out to be the best penalty killers and have the best stats. So he fits that mold. I think, you know, he's got enough games under his belt where he can start adding some things to his repertoire, and PK, I think, will be one of those things.
Coming up in the second half of the show, more, of course, with the head coach and co-host Andy Eid, but we'll also talk more about the Hockey Challenge and how the game is helping raise money for Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska, so stay tuned with us on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
We are back with more T-Bird discussion ahead of a busy 4 games in 5 days for the team. It begins up in Everett tomorrow night at 7:35. The T-Birds are home Saturday at 6:05. They will host the Vancouver Giants. It's part of Hockey Challenge 2020 to benefit Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska. It's the 22nd season of the challenge, by the way, and over $3.5 million has been raised over that span. The busy schedule continues with a rare Monday game. Seattle traveling up to Langley for a 2 o'clock start in the afternoon against the Giants. The T-Birds are back home then on Tuesday at 7. They'll host the Moose Jaw Warriors. It is a Chick-fil-A 2 for Tuesday. For more details, it can be found online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. There will be then a couple of non-game days for the team to kind of catch their breath before a 3-3 the weekend after that. So lots of hockey in a short time. And when all is said and done, it'll be ending up as 7 games over a 10-day span entering the final month of the regular season. Seattle currently sitting in a playoff spot, holding down the 8th seed or 2nd wild card position, a 9-point cushion at the moment over the Prince George Cougars. Well, as we've mentioned already, this weekend the T-Birds will have their 22nd annual hockey challenge to benefit Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska. Close to $4 million has been raised over the past 2 decades. Some of this year's fundraising actually took place back in August and again in early January with the Breakaway Challenges. These Breakaway Challenges, now in their 5th year, they took place at both the Snow King Arena and the Kent Valley Ice Center. Over $16,000 raised, and to talk about it, one of the participants. You know him from his Twitter feed, at NHL to Seattle, and from the Sound of Hockey podcast, our good friend John Barr. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tom.
Explain to the listeners out there, we certainly know how the Ronald McDonald House games kind of come about. Those teams raise money, kind of gives them the right to come play that day at the Accesso Showwear Center. But explain how the hockey, the Breakaway Challenge has worked.
Yeah, so this was a creative idea by Alice Tang. She essentially set up a way to fundraise kind of off-cycle or outside the normal fundraising zones where local hockey players can basically take breakaway shots on kind of goalies. So she's been doing this for a while. She did a little bit last year and then asked me to participate this year as a goalie. So she basically convinced me to put on goalie pads, and I was taking breakaways all like for about 3 hours, and you know, participants would pay to get into it, and essentially that money would go to the Ronald McDonald House. So I can't say I enjoyed being goalie, but it was a little bit of a good time because I've never put the gear on, and that was crazy.
Yeah, you said kind of goalie there initially. What was that experience like? As you mentioned, it's not something you've done before. You play a lot of hockey, but what was that new perspective you got from playing as a goaltender on those breakaway challenges?
Well, the big thing is I just didn't want to get hurt, right? I knew it was for a good cause. I just didn't want to get hurt and stretch something or pull something that wasn't intended to be pulled. It was a little crazy. The gear is very uncomfortable compared to what I'm used to wearing. And, I was able to make a couple saves, but I think it was more of a luck than anything else.
So they pay the donation to shoot on you or take this breakaway on you. You didn't have to pay if you gave one up, did you?
Well, I think we ended up doing something like that. For every goal I allowed, I would contribute some to the house as well. So you know, you kind of make the competitive spirit comes in and you kind of do it. And I did it, and I ended up paying a lot of money.
Now, do you think this might be something in the future they might incorporate as part of the challenge, actually the day of the hockey challenge? For instance, maybe next year when the T-Birds host that event, as they're doing this coming Saturday, they might do a little bit of that at the actual game or during that celebrity challenge?
Well, I think it's possible, and I think in the past they've kind of done somewhat of a demonstration during one of the intermissions, right, where a couple of the top fundraising players were able to take shots on one of the goalies that has volunteered. So I don't know if that's happening this weekend, but I hope I'm not one of the goalies.
You don't want to sharpen up your skills for next year?
No, there's no sharpening. I'm as dull as can be.
And again, you have participated in the Ronald McDonald House Challenge for a number of years now, and I assume you're going to be on the ice this weekend as well.
Yeah, I'm actually playing 3 games, but I put a team together, or 2 teams together, to face each other, and we've already raised close to $35,000. I'm hoping to get over $40,000 by the time the game comes, but we're playing at 3:15, which is right before the T-Birds game. And really, it's a bunch of, you know, hockey players, but really it's about donating money and fundraising money for the Ronald McDonald House.
Well, it is show is airing Thursday. Is it too late for someone out there to try to donate to some of these teams that are participating?
Oh, it's never too late. The Seattle Thunderbirds have some information on their website, and the Ronald McDonald House of Seattle has information on their website, and you can pick a team to donate to. And even just showing up at the event is good, because there's also fundraising opportunities at the game, whether it's bidding on jerseys or some other memorabilia. There's other ways to donate than just kind of picking a team to donate to.
And, you know, this thing's been around for now over two decades. The T-Birds have participated in this to help raise funds for the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Western Washington and Alaska. And they had a presence last year, but even a more significant presence maybe this time around, because the assistant general manager of the NHL Seattle franchise is going to coach one of the teams in the Celebrity Alumni Game. Team Olechek will be coached by Rick Olechek. And we're starting to see more of their presence, and people are still wondering, when's that name going to come out? There was speculation, and I know that you said that wasn't going to happen at the All-Star game. Are we getting even closer?
Well, the latest plan of record, and take this with a grain of salt, because it's not done until it's done, but the latest word out of the NHL Seattle camp is that it's coming in March. At least that's their intent. Now, there's some legal proceedings and some trademark filings that they have to kind of go through, but that is the current plan, and that was as of last week. So that's pretty current information.
So we'll keep an eye out for the Crap Weasels, and we certainly appreciate you participating, as you always have here in these years recently in the challenge, and of course the NHL Seattle appearance as well. It's a terrific event. It raises money for a good cause. John, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, and it's a great event. I love participating in it.
Well, as we bring back head coach Matt Audette in to talk about the games coming up, this busy stretch of hockey, you know, you don't have as many off days, or non-game days, I guess is a better way to say it, because you're still out there practicing on those non-game days. But when you don't have as many of those opportunities and your practice time gets pared down this time of the year, do you narrow the scope of what you're practicing on? Do you focus on certain aspects, whether it's special teams or maybe directing pucks and traffic to the front of the net? How do you pare that down? How do you decide what you're going to work on?
Yeah, you have to be selective at this time of year. You know, practice time's at a premium right now with all our games, and you know, we have to take the most glaring thing that we have to work on and correct that. You know, you don't want to keep your guys on the ice too long in practice. I think rest is huge at this point of the year. So identify a couple things, you know, tackle that through video, and then apply it in practice. You know, that's our plan today and the next couple days. So you want to keep the guys fresh at this time of year, at the same time correcting some things.
And traditionally, you know, there's been this thing in hockey where the morning skate isn't as important or as regular as it used to be. And that's the morning of a game. You have like maybe a light skate. Is that something you guys still do, or does it depend on what your schedule is? I would imagine 4 and 5, you're not going to have a whole lot of morning skates.
Yeah, it's something that we've really pared down. You know, I think over the course of the season, it's a long season. It's just less time putting on the gear, you know, bringing the guys on the ice. And then I think it helps to keep the guys fresh, you know, more excited to be on the ice and at the rink later on in the season. You know, for us, some guys are in school some days, you know, some guys aren't. So you're with split groups some of the times anyways, which can't always work smoothly. So that's another reason. But, you know, we've pared them down. And I think basically the only time that we do them is when we go on the road and we're in a new building that we want to test out the ice and see how the boards work and all those things. Other than that, we don't really do it that much anymore.
And usually when you get a stretch like this where you're going to play a lot of games in a short amount of time, you're at least familiar with the opponents you're playing over the course of those games, because you've probably seen them a number of times already in the season. But you've got a couple of unique situations here in that you have not seen Vancouver yet. You're going to see them twice, Saturday and then Monday. And then you haven't seen Moose Jaw yet either. You'll see them on Tuesday. I'm sure you're going to do a lot of video on those two teams.
Yeah, for sure. It is odd in the scheduling, but unfortunately for us, we're playing Vancouver when they're hot now and got all their pieces in place. So that'll be a tough challenge. But we've watched a little bit of video on them already just in the past couple of weeks, you know, based upon some of our common opponents. But, yeah, that'll be a challenge. And you know, we'll have to get a quick look at Moose Jaw as well. They have a few games in the U.S. division before they hit us. So we'll get a look at them as well. But it's all part of the, you know, part of the preparation process is to get a look at these guys on video and come up with a plan.
And you guys, when you guys play, you guys get into a routine of start times. You know, it's either 6 o'clock or 7, sometimes 7:30. That Monday game in Vancouver at the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What kind of challenge does that present? Just with your whole game day routine.
Yeah, it is funky, especially with playing Friday, Saturday. You know, I think the preliminary plan right now is to go down there on Sunday and get situated. You know, take away some of the problems that can come up on with travel on a game day, leaving early and, you know, border traffic, etc. But yeah, I think to keep the guys active, we're probably going to do something on Sunday, whether it's a practice or a workout, to keep the guys moving, because we won't have the opportunity to do that on Monday. So yeah, quirky schedule, but you know, you got to roll with it.
I guess maybe the silver lining is that the travel isn't that significant. It's fairly regional. You know, obviously, you got a game in Everett and then Vancouver not that much further north, and Vancouver is going to be traveling from down here as well, and then you come back at home play on Tuesday night. So not a lot of travel. Nobody's really getting a benefit from the busy schedule as far as that travel goes.
Yeah, that's the good part about it. You know, no long trips, and you know, most of the teams involved are in the same boat. So I know that's not always the case. Sometimes we're traveling through the night and the other team's sitting there rested. But I think it all evens out in the wash. But, you know, it's nice to limit the travel, especially at this time of the season.
And right now with Rybinski and Ashton, you don't have any healthy scratches, I don't believe. Does that impact what you do? Is there thoughts of maybe seeing if you can't get somebody in here for a couple weeks?
Yeah, actually Schaefer's going to be coming to town to help us out. Okay. Gives us an extra body up front. But, yeah, it makes a difference. You know, you got to keep guys on their toes. The threat of being healthy scratch isn't there. But, you know, all hands on deck. And, you know, it's nice that some of the guys that have been kind of in and out of the lineup can be in there for back-to-back games. And, you know, that's one of the positives about it. But, you know, obviously we'd like to be healthy and have our full complement of guys so we can have that healthy competition of moving guys in and out of the lineup.
Well, it's too bad these players are going to be participating in this hockey challenge. The celebrity alumni guys are out of their element now as they've gone a little bit older in the tooth, if you will say. You can't bring like Ed Patterson in maybe. And some of these other guys who have lost their eligibility at the junior level. But again, a busy stretch of hockey for you, and it starts Friday night up in Everett against the Silvertips. We'll see you up there.
All right, thanks, guys.
That wraps up another week of the Coach's Show. Ahead of a busy weekend of hockey with 4 games in 5 nights, it does include 2 home games, the Hockey Challenge, as well as the Chick-fil-A 2 for Tuesday. Again, go online for ticket information at SeattleThunderbirds.com. For the head coach, Matt Odette, our guest, John Barr, and for co-host Andy Eyde, I'm Tom Bolney, and thanks for listening on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.